As a result of doing this work, I've had a spiritual awakening, and I need this group's conscience to share up here tonight, so I will share. Good to be up here. I haven't been up here in a while. These chairs are kryptonite to me. With my back, they're not too good for me, so I'm a member of also Orleans Men's Monday Night Big Book, and I also belong to Tuesday Night Dennis Poor Co-Ed Big Book Step Study. In meetings like these, where I heard the solution on a consistent level. I was introduced to this when I was actually back in treatment some years ago up in Miller House. And the first meeting I went to was Wednesday Night Falmouth Big Book. And Bobby was actually the first guy that I ever heard speak at a meeting. And I'll get to that to the end because he boggled my mind that night. I'm here to share on 11. And to share on 11, I'm not going to do any kind of a drunk log. I'm going to get right to the step as quickly as possible. But I share on 10, 11, and 12. Anytime I'm sharing on 11, I'm actually talking about 10 as well as I'm talking about 12. When I came in, I wasn't looking for any kind of a spiritual solution. I was just looking for the shit show to stop and for my life to get better. And I was under the belief that long as I don't drink and drug, my life will get better just because I don't drink and drug. And my experience isn't that whatsoever. My experience is after being sober for, 9, 10 months, whatever it was, my life was getting progressively worse. And I remembered the gentleman that I met when I was at Miller House, who became my first sponsor, but he wasn't at that point in time. And it was like clear as a bell. I heard his words in my head. I was sitting in St. Anthony's Friday night meeting, and I was going to 4 or 5 meetings a day and, so forth and so on. And I was staying sober. I will, and that is the most important thing I do, is not pick up one drink or one drug for one day. But my thinking was it's fucked up. I don't know. That's the only best word I can use for it. But I don't know what group was in or who the gentleman was who was sharing at the time. But he did his drunk log. And he finished with, he's been sober 30-something years. And I can remember literally sitting there going, oh, my God, I can't do this anymore. I was at that jumping off point where the relief that alcohol and drugs had given me, I deluded myself that it was giving me, that it stopped working in the end, was the same thing that was happening to me at meetings. The relief I was getting from going to a meeting and listening to other people, tell humorous anecdotes and tell me how wonderful their life was because they weren't drinking, there was no more relief, nothing whatsoever. But I remembered a conversation I had a few months prior when I was in treatment where this gentleman said to me, there's a solution. He said, there's a way out of this thing. And I remembered that very clearly that night. And I called him and I met with him the next day. And he began to take me through this process as it's laid out in this book. Clueless to what I was getting into. All I know is, I said at the very beginning, I didn't do this to connect with God. I was exhausted. I was mentally and physically exhausted is why I got into the work. So I bring this up for the purpose of, if you're in here and the God part bothers you or you don't know what the purpose of doing the step work is, it will take you to where it's designed to go. The biggest obstacle to me recovering is me. And it'll always be me. And I didn't know I was the problem. It was very easy for me to look at everybody else in my life and blame them for my problems, had they just not done this way, and so forth and so on. But that wasn't the truth. That wasn't the truth of it. And I was introduced to On Awakening and Want to Retire at Night fairly early on. I remember right before I took the third step prayer with my sponsor after we went through the previous readings, he said to me, he said, do you believe in God? And my response was, I do, but I don't see how that's relevant to what we're talking about. And he looked at me, he said, that's enough for now. Don't worry about it. It's not a prerequisite to get into step work. If it was a prerequisite to have a belief and faith in God to get into the step work, I don't think I would have done it. I just would have kind of pushed him away and said, like, thanks, but I think I'm good. So, you know, we look at the third step, turned our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And that was important for me, you know. One of my religious belief system is a little different than what the majority of what I see around Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm Jewish. And I remember being early on in meetings going, oh, my God, they're all Irish Catholic. I said, I'm not doing that. That's no offense to Irish Catholic. It's funny. I had a belief system, but no faith in it, you know? I believe what I was brought up with, but there was no faith connected to it, which is really insanity when you think about it. But anyways, after taking the third step, he showed me 86, and he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to read On Awakening and When We Retire at Night. And to give you an idea of how clear-headed I was at that time, I said to him, I said, when do I read On Awakening? He looked at me like he was like surprised I asked the question. He says, On Awakening, when do you get up in the morning? I said, all right. I said, what about the other part? He said, well, when we retire at night? I said, yeah. He said, when we retire at night. You know, I needed directions. And I mean, in every aspect of this, I had no idea what to do. Now, the word was always emphasized to me very early on was demonstration. He said, if you make a demonstration on a daily basis, a demonstration will be made in return. He said, you don't need to understand what that means. He says, just make the demonstration. You picking up this book on a daily basis is a demonstration that you want to get better. And I can say that outside of last winter when I was in the hospital for 2 weeks recovering from back surgery, I have picked this book up every morning and every evening. And its meaning today is far different than it was when I was given those simple directions of just reading it for the sake of reading it. And that's what it was for a while. It was just going about reading this and like, okay, all right, I read it, that's good. And that was my demonstration. But every time I wrote, I would do that third step prayer. Every time I finished writing, I would thank God for the opportunity to get well. And this was in the beginning of each day and the end of each day. And it says at the end of step 10, much has already been said about receiving strength and inspiration and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we've begun to sense the flow of the Spirit into us. To some extent, we've become God-conscious. We've begun to develop the vital sixth sense. Well, that's what's happened. And what they're saying, much has already been said. It's about what we've done to that point in time. You know, it was really, I was also taught to read 84 and 85, too. You know, when I say taught, told, you can call them suggestions, whatever you want to call them. I was told this is what I was going to do. Okay? And like I said, I was, at that point in time, beaten down and willing enough to do what someone else told me to do. My way just wasn't working. So, and I remember, it's funny, I'll mix this into my share on 11. I'm getting to 11, trust me. I'm talking about 11 now as I'm doing this. I was reading 84 and 85 one night before reading When We Retire at Night. And I had been reading it for about a little over a year every evening. And again, there were words on a page. And one night I was reading it, and I'm like, oh my God, these are the directions. And that's how it happened. I don't know the moment that was or the day that was, but that's when I had a spiritual awakening. I realized that these were the directions. It wasn't a theory anymore. I had heard guys in this room talk about this stuff, and it was a theory to me. I believed them, but I had no experience with it. And in that short moment, it went from a theory to my experience. That position of neutrality that talks about was reached. Okay? Now, in step 11, it says, we continue to seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. Now, in order to maintain that position of neutrality and to be a decent human being, I have to continue to seek. That spirit that's been awakened in me will go dormant again if I stop doing this work. And it tells me early on in the work, if I stop doing this, I'm going to drink again. Okay? I don't want to drink again. Because for me to drink is to die. And I believe that with all my heart and soul. You know? Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. And again, there's that word suggestion again. I do it. Not because I have to, because I want to today. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we using it constantly. And not better men than we, like better men than we in this room. Better men than us in general. People of religious and spiritual belief system that have practiced these principles well before Alcoholics Anonymous was formed. They're telling us these are the people we look to who do this stuff that live these lives, okay? It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. Okay. My attitude is a huge part of my connection to God. If I choose not to believe, then it's not going to happen. God doesn't make too difficult the terms. You know, the question is asked way earlier in the book, God is everything or is nothing. What is our choice to be? You know, at this point in time, I believe in this faith that I have today, and I want to enlarge it. You know, it tells us earlier, and I believe it's 10, spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. You know, it's not something I can say casually at a meeting and then go out and like act like an asshole in the real world. You know, I don't want to do that any longer. You know, I want to try to be a decent human being. And with faith, it's brought me to a place that I'd always been searching for. I'd always been seeking some kind of peace within me. Because I was always at odds with the world and its people. And I was the constant all the time. It was me. So this faith that I found through this, it changed my thinking. And it says, it would be easy to be vague about this matter. This is one of those places in the book where they give you this information, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. So, again, there's that word suggestion. So we retire at night. When I first started reading this, I'm like, why would they put that first? Shouldn't that be after on awakening? Haven't I lived my whole day and then I retire at night? When we retire at night, from my understanding, and different guys might have different viewpoints on it, it's to clear my day. All right, so when I wake up in the morning and I look at on awakening, I'm not waking up with yesterday's crap. All right, when we retire, I constructively review my day. Is I selfish, resentful, dishonest, or afraid? Do I owe an apology? Have I kept something to myself which I discussed with another person at once? Was I kind and loving to all? Was I thinking of myself most of the time? What could I have done better? You know, every evening I go through this. I ask myself these questions, not in a long form or in beating myself up, in a constructive way to see where I was. You know, lately, when I review the end of my day, it's been like a loop. You know, I've been going through this recovery from back surgery, and it's I got more surgery coming, and it's just been, you know, been a difficult 2 years, to say the least. And I'm thinking of myself way too often. You know, and nothing gets me outside of me is working with another alcoholic. You know, I'm sitting here right now. As soon as I'm done talking, my back's going to start hurting again. As I'm probably stretching this out for my own selfish reasons. No, I'm kidding. You know, but we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. And that's what I've been getting into. I've been getting into a lot of worry about what's going to happen with my physical health. It's affecting my financial situation and so forth. I ask God what corrective measures should be taken. And I thank him for his mercy and the grace that I have on every evening. And when I wake up in the morning, I start my day as soon as my eyes open up in the morning, I say good morning to God. That started some years ago. I was kind of surprised when it came out of my mouth too. But it's where I start my day every morning. And then I begin to read this. And we think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. In other words, my plans are not concrete when I wake up in the morning. All right? Usually within an hour and a half of leaving my house, the plans that I've thought upon have changed in some way, shape, or form. So this has taught me not only how to be disciplined, but it's taught me how to be flexible with how I go about my day. God gave me brains to use, you know. Tells us in step 10, we have free will. God gave me free will. He gave me brains to use, and I have to utilize my thinking by trying to align it with God's will. And I'm not that spiritually deep yet to understand completely what God's will is. I broke it into a simple thinking of trying to be selfless, living honestly, seeking this God, and having faith. To me, that's God's will. You know, I try not to complicate this. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, intuitive thought, or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come up. We tried this for a while. Now, that's what's starting to happen in my life now. I have the capacity to pause when agitated and doubtful. To, in the moment, ask God for help. You know, last week, I had to go up to the pain center, getting another epidural, and I gave him my paperwork like 2 weeks prior. I actually physically handed it in because a year and a half ago, they said they lost it. So I said, I'm going to get a step ahead of them. I'm going to hand deliver it to them. So I did, and I went back up last week just to get updated and see when I'll be getting the shot. And the woman says to me, oh, we don't have any paperwork for you. And my first thought was to just go off. And I paused because I was both agitated and doubtful on how to handle it. And I just took like 10 seconds and I asked God to remove the fear, direct my attention to what do you have me be. And I said, how do we handle this? How do we move forward from this point? And long and short, I got the phone call yesterday. I have my appointment tomorrow morning. Now, not that long ago, I would have made a scene about that. I would have been livid. But I was able to handle it in a manner that was normal, you know? Might not mean much to other people, but for me, I understand this is not how I used to react to situations. You know, what used to be a hunch and occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. In the beginning, you know, having just made that conscious contact, I thought everything I did was like God approved. It had the stamp, you know, so I could act any way I chose to. And I acted out in ways that were unfitting, you know, certainly not by living by principles. And as time's gone on, as I continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness, I've gotten better at a lot of things. I still fall short in a lot of areas. My retiree and I tells me that. We ask especially for freedom of self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful to never pray for our own selfish ends. And in that area, I ask God for the strength to, when I'm working with another alcoholic, that I have the physical presence and mental presence to be available for them. You know, and I wasn't joking with Mike when I said this. When I'm sitting here And I hate these chairs. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm trying to carry this message. And when I'm doing that, I'm outside of me. So when I ask God to give me the strength to do something, it's not for a selfish ends, I hope. It's to be of service to another fellow. And that goes in every area of my life, not just working with another alcoholic. When I'm at work, when I'm in traffic, or I'm talking with someone, whatever it happens to be, I have to try to carry this in that respect. You know, one of the things that I was a little short to do in the beginning was to be quick to see where religious people are right. Because this is just a foundation. This book is just a foundation. You know, to enlarge my spiritual life, I had to start looking in other areas. It was Frankie, my second sponsor, who began to encourage me to broaden my horizons, my thinking on that. And I've since done that. And I've tried to, over the years, keep adding to a spiritual pathway, so to speak, path to live this to a better life. You know? My friend Warren used to say this all the time. Thy will be done. We are there unless much danger, excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. That's a good thing. That's a good thing when I'm not like that. We become much more efficient. We don't tire so easily. We don't get caught up in things that no longer are of any real meaning to me anymore. You know, these debates over this, that, the other thing. All I'm doing is burning foolish energy. It serves no purpose. You know, I'm going blank here. Okay. So that means I'm coming to a close. This works. It really does. You know, this is the second time I think it comes up in the book. The beginning of steps 8 and 9, it comes up with it too. Faith without works is dead. And they're telling us in this section at the end here, faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. I'll end with this one thing, and I might butcher this, Bobby. I apologize if I do. I heard him, this is the first thing I heard Bobby talking about, an orange. He was describing what an orange is, how you peel it, how you taste it, and to somebody who's never had an orange. And I'm listening to him and go, why is this guy talking about produce? You know? And he says, then you bite into the orange. Doing this work is the orange. I've tasted the orange. It's as good as he said it was. Maybe even a little better. If I got that wrong, I apologize. But that's it for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. I think I have to read this group conscience statement again. If you have completed a fifth step out of the big book without